We live in a world where people really need peace. If you turn on any news channel, it's filled with stories of riots and violence, hatred, murder, trafficking, bullying, and war around the world. A lot of people personally struggle with feelings of guilt or shame, inadequacy, feelings of regret, helplessness, and hopelessness that can all rob you of any sense of peace. You worry about the future, about your future, not just the future, but your future. What about your health? What about your job? What about relationships or kids or money? And so there's a lot of fear. Many among us battle anxiety and panic attacks. Your stress level climbs through the roof every day. Fears and phobias can't be tamed. Some of you fight OCD that is crippling. Others fight trauma or PTSD that's unpredictably will throw your life into chaos. According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States, affecting 40 million adults. That's nearly 20% of the population age 18 and older every year. We need peace. Now, we're in a teaching series called This Is Us. It's a study of the kings of Judah in the book of Chronicles. If you have a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. That's where we're going to be in just a moment. Chronicles kind of tells the story of the descendants of David who ruled over the nation of Judah, the southern part of God's people. Now, their struggles are our struggles. Their battles are our battles. And today we're going to learn about a guy who brought much needed peace to people who hadn't known peace in decades. Now, this was a downward trajectory. Just to kind of remind you, when we're talking about Chronicles, I said in week one that their story is one of just gradual decline away from God until finally God's going to say, I'm done. There were some high spots, some low spots, but for the most part, it was a negative trajectory. Now, a guy named Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, and Rehoboam's life was mostly down and sometimes up and mostly down, right? But he never really sought God with a whole heart. His son Abijah was up for a hot minute. Man, I think in the scripture we looked at last week, he really did have faith. He trusted in God. He had the covenant. Man, he had worship on his side. That was good when he was going against Jeroboam. But the trajectory of Abijah's life after that was totally negative. The Bible says he walked in the sins of his father, Jeroboam, or the fathers like Jeroboam. He was not a good man. Now, today we're going to be introduced to a new guy. His name is King Asa. And we're going to look at his life in two parts, this week and next week. This week is the good part, right? So thank God for that. And here's the point of his life in the early years. Asa sought God and experienced peace. Please hear me. Asa sought God and experienced peace. Asa didn't seek peace. He sought God. And God gave him peace. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1 says, so Abijah, that's his father, slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and his son Asa became king in his place, and the land was undisturbed for 10 years during his days. The land, for the first time, is undisturbed. That word undisturbed in Hebrew, it means peace and tranquility. It means safety and security. It speaks of quietness. There are no wars. For the first time since the good old days of Solomon, the people of the land are like, man, we can exhale. There's peace. Now, here's what I want you to hear. God made you to experience peace. God made you to live at peace. The Old Testament Hebrew word is shalom. To have peace, it means that there's nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. That's the way God designed you to live, at peace. The promised land, if you read the scripture, you read about the children of Israel leaving Egypt and going through the wilderness and going to the promised land, Hebrews 3 calls the promised land the rest of God. It was a land where they would rest in God's provision, God's protection, God's power. That's the way he wanted his children to live, at rest, at peace. Jesus, according to Isaiah 9:6, when the Messiah comes, he's going to be called the Prince of Peace, right? He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus gave an invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden with the rules and the religion and your stuff, and I will give you rest. He says to his disciples the night that he's going to be betrayed, John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." The world's peace means the absence of problems, but God's peace is the presence of Christ. God invites you to experience this kind of rest and peace the same way Asa did. Now, if you're a note taker, here's what you can write down. Here's the way you experience this peace. Number one, this peace has to be received. Okay, this kind of peace has to be received. It's not achieved. You don't earn it. You don't go get it. It can only be received as a gift. 2 Chronicles 14:2, Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord, his God. Now this I think tells you kind of the prescription for experiencing peace. He does what's good and right in the sight of the Lord, his God. This is the starting point for you. If you want to experience peace, make the Lord your God. It doesn't say the Lord God of his mama or his mama or his grandparents, not his church's God, not his friend's God. He sought the Lord. He did what is good and right in the sight of the Lord, his God. Asa made a personal commitment to say, "I don't care what the rest of y'all are going to do. I'm following God." And the Bible says that you have to make a choice to do the same thing. Not your mama's faith, not your church's faith. It's not what you're doing. You have to receive God. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood." In other words, "Well, I've been a Christian all my life." No, you haven't. "Nor of the will of the flesh." "Well, I've been doing good." No, you haven't. "Nor of the will of man." "Well, my preacher baptized me, or my mama told me I was a Christian." That ain't it. You're born of God. Only God can make you his child. But when you receive him, that's what you become. Reagan and one of his friends FaceTimed Christy and I last week, and they were excited. They had been at Campus Community, which is kind of their Wednesday night midweek gathering where they go to college. And Clayton King, who's come to Pine Lake several times, just got a gift of evangelism. He's talking to kids at a Christian college about not having your mama's faith, not having your church's faith, but having your own faith. And the girl on the FaceTime call with Reagan said, "You know what? Tonight I stood up and I accepted Jesus for myself." She said, "I've been in church all my life and I know I've believed in God, but I had never personally asked Jesus to be my Savior. And I did that tonight. And I walked down to the front, and when I was down there, I was nervous about what my friends were going to think. But man, when I came back, they were just celebrating with me. It was awesome." Can I say to you, some of you worry about what would it be like if you were to give your life to Christ or make that public, and you fear what other people would think. Let me tell you what they would think. They would think it's awesome. But you have to choose Jesus. Peace starts when you choose to follow him. Please hear me. Peace is not the goal. God is the goal. If peace is the goal, life's all about you. "I want some peace. That's all about you. God, give me peace." And if God doesn't come through, you're mad at God. When life's all about you, peace is the goal, and you're mad when things don't go your way. But when your life is devoted to God, "God, my life's in your hands. I've got you," God will give you peace that passes understanding as a byproduct of that relationship. How you been trying to find peace? Some of you have tried to escape your problems, and so you numb the pain. You can numb it through shopping, through sports, through working out, through drugs, distraction, vacations. Some try to run from your problem so you don't have to deal with it, and so you don't commit. You bounce from job to job, relationship to relationship, roommate to roommate. Some of you try to fix your problems on your own and you try to control everything, but that usually only exacerbates or makes the problem worse. You can keep on doing those things, running or trying to fix it yourself, or you could stop today, turn to God, and say, "God, I just need you." And he'll give you peace. Galatians 5:22 says this: "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace." In other words, when you receive Christ, when the Spirit of God comes to live in you, he is love in you. He is joy in you. He is peace. So Asa starts, and this is the way you get it: "God, I want to start by just making you my God. And then I want to do what is good and right in your sight." That's what verse 2 says.
He does what's good and right in the sight of God. He does what is good. It means that he does the things that make God happy, not made himself happy. Y'all with me? He doesn't do what makes him happy. He does the things that makes God happy, the things that please God, the things that are appropriate and excellent, and what smelled like sweet incense to God. Christ, from the altar of my life, be glorified. God, I want to do things that are pleasing to you. What kind of things make God happy? Things like love and grace and forgiveness and truth and faith, generosity, serving. With those sacrifices, Hebrews 13 says, God is well pleased. And do the things that are right in God's sight. That word right means straight and smooth and level, straightforward and just. Nothing hidden, nothing crooked, nothing warped, nothing bent, nothing under the table, behind somebody's back, swept under the rug, or hidden in a closet. What does this kind of good and right life look like? Well, verse 3 tells us, it says, for he removed the foreign altars and the high places, and he tore down the sacred pillars, cut down the Asherim, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was, there's our word again, it was undisturbed under him. How did he experience this undisturbed, quiet life? Well, he's doing good and right. What is doing good and right when in the sight of his God look like? It means removing all rejection of God. He removed all those things that symbolized rejection of God, all the altars to foreign gods, all the ways that they could turn away from God. He got rid of them. So you need to remove all the ways that you might reject God. Get that stuff out of your life. Now, I'm calling it rejecting God. The Bible calls that sin, but sin's a trigger word. But here's what you need to know. Rejection of God, sin, does not make God happy. It makes God sick. It can't be in his presence. And so Asa got rid of all the ways that he and the people had been rejecting God. There was repentance and cleansing out of all the ways where they had been disobedient, just like Deuteronomy 12 commanded them to do. Get rid of all the idols and all the altars and all the own ramps for sin in your life. And so he got them all out. He removed the foreign altars, the places of worship, the Asherim, which were associated with fertility gods. Listen, these were places where a lot of sexual promiscuity took place. And Asa's like, we got to get all this out. And so I want to say to my Pine Lake brothers and sisters, part of you experiencing peace is you ridding yourself of those things that promise you peace and never deliver. Instead, what they do is they leave you further from God, deeper in shame and pain. Where have you been looking to find peace? And how is that going for you? They didn't just confess it. They got rid of it. And they stopped doing those things. I don't know if everybody did, but listen, Asa did. Asa's the leader now, and he's like, all right, everybody in my house, this is what we're fixing to do. This is what I'm saying. And so he gets rid of all of that. And that's God's invitation to you. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 reads like this. It says, therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. Why? In order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. If you would turn away from all those things that are not giving you peace, they're bringing you more heartache, and say, God, I want you, then God would bring with him seasons of refreshing. Peace. Rest. So you get rid of whatever's getting you away from God, and you seek the Lord. The scripture says that Asa and the people sought God. That word seek in Hebrew means to tread a path, to frequent. They're going over and over and over again. In my mind, I envision being raised in the country where in the pasture behind us, there were trails in the pasture. Cows can walk anywhere they want to, but they frequent the same places over and over and over again. From the barn to the pond, from the pond to the shade tree, from the shade tree back to the barn. They go every day this circuit so that there is a path between those places. Cows could walk anywhere, but they wind up walking. Come on, any country folk know what I'm talking about? They're all over the place. Those trails are telling you where the cows go all the time. Now, we do the same thing. Any woman who does carpet in your house or in cleaning, you know, some places get worn. What places get worn more? Those places we go all the time. It happens that way. We don't have paths that we walk on. We have highways that we drive on. Where do we put highways? Where we're going all the time. The idea is that when you seek God, you go to God all the time. I worship and I pray and I'm in the Word and I'm worshiping and I'm praying and I'm in the Word and I'm worshiping and I'm praying and I'm in the Word. It's my life. My life is about seeking God. And I go time and time again. It means I'm saying, God, what do you want to do? God, how should I live my life? God, what should I be about right now? I'm seeking God. If you want a life of peace, then your life needs to be marked by frequently going to God. Now, we love this verse, Philippians 4, 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. No part of your life where you're not going to God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, day after day after day, let your requests be made known to God. And what happens? The peace of God that surpasses comprehension can't explain it. It guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Whenever you frequent God, you seek God, God gives you peace. So Asa puts away those things that pull him away from God. He starts to seek God, and then he just does what God says. He told him, keep the commandments, keep the law. It's one thing to know God's word and to know God, it's another thing to walk with him. It's one thing to know the commandments, it's another thing to live the commandments out, true or not. Oh, plenty of times I know what's right, I'm just not gonna do right. And so Asa says, don't just seek him to know what's right, then go do that. I love Philippians 4, 6. I want me some peace. But you know what Philippians 4, 9 says? The things you've learned and received and heard and seen at Pine Lake, or in your quiet time, the things that you heard spiritually, the things you've heard and seen in me, practice these things. Do it, live it. And the God of peace will be with you. God won't give you peace. God will give you himself. And he is peace. You want financial peace? Do what God says. Get a job. Tithe on what you make. Save some of what you make, pay your taxes on what you make, and live on the rest, and you'll have peace. You want relational peace? Then do what God says. Walk in love. Don't be unequally bound together with a non-believer who doesn't have Jesus as the goal. Walk in truth, walk in grace, walk in purity, and for the most part, you're gonna experience peace. You want spiritual peace? Do what God says do. When Peter preached one day and the people were freaking out because they had made an absolute mess of their life, they said, what do we do? We're a mess on the inside. This was Peter's advice, Acts 2:38. He says, repent, seek God, and each of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who brings peace. You want peace? Turn from your sin, turn back to God, and be baptized. This would be a good time to just stop and say, the reason I've got this shirt on that says Raised to Life, and so do many of our other staff and servant leaders, is today is a day when we're calling for folks to take a step of obedience. You've trusted in Christ, but now be baptized. I don't know when it was that you felt like God was talking to you. Maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe it was just in the last few weeks or months where you were in church and man, something about that message about growing or praying or something about dysfunctional me, something about dysfunctional family or kids or whatever that was, something back around. Somewhere along the way, you're like, man, I'm accepting Christ today, but you haven't told anybody about it. And so today is a day where at every campus, we've got a time outside, low pressure, lots of folks who will just celebrate you. We want to help you take your initial step into publicly walking with Jesus and help you to make your confession that says, I'm in. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God, and he's my risen Lord, and he's my Savior. And you'll have peace. You can find somebody today, if you want to do this, you can find somebody with a red shirt on and tell them. You can text identify to 57555, or just show up. You can just show up and say, I want to be baptized today.
and we'll help you to take your next step.
What happens whenever you make God your God and do what's good and right in His sight and remove the sinful stuff and seek God and obey His ways? Well, look at what verse 5 says. 2 Chronicles 14:5 says, "And the kingdom was undisturbed under him, and he built fortified cities in Judah, since the land was undisturbed. And there was no one at war with him during those years, because the Lord had given him rest. For he said to Judah, 'Let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers and gates and bars. The land is still ours.' Why? Because we've sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. Asa sought God. God gave rest." Now that word in Hebrew for rest, it means this: freedom, according to Brown Driver Briggs' lexicon. It means freedom from enemies, freedom from suffering, and quietness of mind. God gives you rest, freedom, and quietness. God gave it. He didn't achieve it. God gave it. And so the invitation for you today is, man, if your life is in turmoil and your mind is constantly spinning, and you're like, "Man, God, I need some peace," would you hear God say, "What you need is me. Come to me and I'll give you rest." This kind of peace has to be received. Here's the second thing if you're a note taker. This peace can be relied on. It's got to be received, but it also can be relied on, and you're going to have to rely on this peace at some point in your life. Asa had peace from God and in God that he could rely on when life got crazy, and life got crazy in about verse 8. Asa has an army of 580,000 warriors, but an Ethiopian, Egyptian king comes at him, and he's got an army of 1,000,000. He's outnumbered almost 2 to 1. And look at what verse 10 says. "So Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up in battle formation in the valley of Zephatha at Marasah, and Asa called to the Lord his God and said, 'Lord, there's no one beside you to help in battle between the powerful and those who have no strength.'" He's talking about himself. "So help us, O Lord our God, we trust in you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not men prevail against you." Do you hear in his prayer humility, dependence, trust, courage to face a problem that's overwhelming? "God, I don't have what it takes. God, help us." And so verse 12 says, "The Lord routed." Who did? The Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar, and so many Ethiopians fell that they could not recover, for they were shattered before the Lord and before his army, and they carried away much plunder. What did Asa do when trouble rose up in his life? Please hear me. He did what he always did. He went to God. The reason some of you can't find peace even when you call on God in the middle of trouble is because it's a long distance call. You hadn't talked to God. You haven't sought God daily. God hasn't been the desire of your heart. You haven't been seeking to do what's good and right in his sight because he's the Lord your God. You're doing your own thing, and then trouble hits, the fur flies, stuff hits the fan, and you're like, "Oh God, I need peace." But when you talk to God every day and you walk that path every day on your knees, to call on him in time of trouble is no problem. It's just another day. And you can have confidence in the middle of the chaos that is your life. And so Asa's like, "God, I'm leaning on you. God, please be my help. God, it's impossible. I got nobody else I can turn to." But listen, what's impossible for you is possible with God. "God, I got no strength. We have no strength. I can't do this on my own." Can I say a word to all the strong men in here who we try to handle stuff, and that's the way God wired us? A lot of times it's to handle stuff, and we were raised to handle stuff. Those who admit that they can't handle what they're facing and turn to God and rely on him completely, those are the ones who actually experience peace the deepest.
a peace that passes understanding. Asa's a strong man. He's the king, and he's saying, God, I need some help. I'm trusting in you. I'm coming in your name. God, please help me. Life's crazy, but I know you can handle this. And what does God do? He routs the Ethiopians, and they fled, and please hear this, don't miss it. They were shattered so badly that the Ethiopians never came against not only Asa again, but God so shattered his enemy that they never came up against Judah for 300 more years, not until 600 BC. Do they show up again? Can I say to you, God is completely able to handle whatever your problem is. And if you'll turn to him and trust him, he can deal with it and move it so that it doesn't bother you anymore. To seek God and to walk with him daily doesn't mean you're never going to have any problems. Certainly you're going to have problems in this world, but even in the midst of the pain and the problems of the world, Jesus said you can still have peace. John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you so that in me, come on, do you see it? So that in me, you can have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. There's junk that comes at you. There's stuff that happens, but take courage. I've overcome the world. God, you were raised. Now you reign. 1,000 hallelujahs. God's peace isn't the absence of problems in your life, child of God. God's peace is his presence. It doesn't mean I never have problems. It means I have God. I was thinking about the disciples. They experienced peace and they experienced troubles. Thinking about in the Gospels, how many times these grown men, many of them commercial fishermen, found themselves in the middle of a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And I don't get it. There are at least 3 or 4 different times they're in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And I'm wondering, do they not have the weather app? I mean, can they not see that it's coming? Do they just stink as sailors? I mean, they just don't know what they're doing. Or maybe the devil was trying to kill them. The enemy, the prince of this world, can see what's going on, and he's stirring up the chaos to try to ruin these men's lives and wreck their faith and drown them out. Now, in the middle of the storms, whether it was Jesus sleeping in the boat and Peter having to say, Jesus, please help us, and Jesus calming the storm, or whether Jesus wasn't in the boat, but he's out there on the water, and Jesus saying to Peter, come to me on the waves. Listen, sometimes Peter experienced peace by God stilling the storm. Other times Peter experienced peace by walking on it. And I'm saying to you, there are times whenever you pray that God's going to still that storm. And I thank God when he does. But even if he doesn't, you can still walk on it. And you can walk through it. Because Jesus is your peace. It's football season, and I'm happy. David Pollack is one of the guys who kind of does commentary on one of the ESPN broadcasts. David Pollack played football in Georgia at University of Georgia, went to be a professional football player with the Cincinnati Bengals, but his career ended with one hit. He posted a tweet yesterday. It says, the day I broke my neck was the best day of my life. 16 years ago today, everything I grew up wanting was taken away in one hit. When we find ourselves broken, God's peace comforts our spirit because he has a perfect plan and purpose in our pain. The day he was carried off the field, him in a neck brace, David Pollack today. He's just testifying to those of us who are laid out right now, and it feels like the worst day of your life. If you've got Christ, you can have peace. I was sharing this plan with our staff this week, and one of our pastors reminded me that they're walking through the death of a 2-year-old child with part of our faith family, and that the faith of this mom and dad who said, we thank God that we got 2 years to be with this precious angel. He's our peace in the midst of the storm. May you today, in whatever you're walking through,
You didn't get the bid you wanted at college. You didn't get into the fraternity or sorority. You lost your job. You got a bad report from the doctor. You reserved the papers. He walked away. He left you. She quit. She broke up with you. Your heart is crushed. Can I ask you to turn to God and rely on Him? He is your peace. And with the psalmist say, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. You got to receive this kind of peace, and you got to rely on this kind of peace. And here's the last thing. You're going to need to renew this kind of peace. There are times in your life when you're going to need to renew, re-up, kind of stand back in with God and say, God, I'm in again. Let's go some more. Asa wins this battle, right? God delivers him from the Ethiopians. And man, this, whoop, man, they got swag. They got stuff they're bringing home. It is a good, good day. But remember, his grandfather had some good days and then fell short over and over again. Good days fall short. Remember that his dad had a good day too, and then he never recovered from a good day. And so God sends a warning to Asa on the heels of a very, very good day. 2 Chronicles 15:1. Now the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and all of Benjamin, the Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he'll let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. It's not that hard, is it? Come on, you walk with God. Lord, you're my God, and I'm going to put away the bad things, and God, walk with you in the good things, and God, I want my life to be honoring to you. God says, I got you, boy. Man, let's go. God says, I got you. It's right there. It's not that complicated. But if you start to say, it's my life, man, look at me. Dang. Woo-hoo. And all of a sudden, you start to walk away from God, and the grass looks greener outside of God's provision. God says, this is not going to end well for you. So on the heels of some of you, God's come through for you. You did get the bid. You did keep your job. The cancer is gone. Wow. You do have a date. Life is amazing for you. On the heels of it, can I remind you, you were crying out to God for help. God's come through. Now what you gonna do? Whatever you do, don't walk away from God. If you forsake him, he'll forsake you. But if you seek God, he will let you find him. Asa received this warning. He's like, boom, I'm down. Verse 8 of chapter 15 says, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy which Azariah, the son of Obed, the prophet, spoke, he took courage. He had to be brave. He had to be strong. And he removed the abominable idols from all the lands of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord, which is in front of the porch of the Lord. All the new places that he had captured and some of the old ones too, he's like, let's clean house again. Let's get it all out. Verse 16 says he was so serious about it that he removed Micah, the mother of King Asa, from the position of queen mother. Why? Because she had made a horrid image as an Asherah, and Asa cut down her horrid image, crushed it, and burned it in the brook at Kidron. Come on, you know you're serious when you're kicking your mama out of her queenship. But that's what he does. He's like, Grandma, I love you, but you got to go. Why in the world is he so radically removing anything not from God? Well, let me ask you, how much cancer do you want the doctor to leave? How much poison would you like left in your drinking water? How many LSU fans do you want to come to Thanksgiving? Right? So here's what I'm saying. Here's what God's saying to you. If you want radical peace, you got to have radical purity. If you want radical peace that passes understanding, then you got to have radical purity. Leave no stone unturned. God, I don't want the enemy to have any place from which to rob, kill, and steal my peace. Jesus talked about plucking out your eye if it causes you to stumble, your good eye, cut off your hand, your strong hand. It would better for you to be maimed and go to heaven, be in the kingdom, than with two good eyes and two good hands to act like an idiot. It's radical obedience, but your journey with God is going to be like that. Can I talk to all my seasoned Christian followers of Jesus in the room? Please hear me for a second. You can't sit here today. It's dangerous for you to sit here and say today, oh, I accepted Jesus. Oh, yeah, I cleaned up my life once, and now I'm good. No, 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 no. Please hear me. You got to do this every single day. Lamentation says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Why new mercies every morning? Because I need them every morning. We talk about peeling an onion, right? One skin at a time. God is going to faithfully, by the Holy Spirit, peel your onion. And you may just cry at times when he does. There are things at your core God ain't even dealing with yet. He's going to get to one day. You don't even know about them. Don't worry about them. Just let him peel the current layer. Just let him peel that layer. God, remove from me anything that's robbing me of peace. And they renewed their devotion to the Lord. Verse 12 says they entered into the covenant to seek the God of the Lord, God of their fathers, with all their heart and all their soul. They made a decision, a choice. Like you have an opportunity today to make an intentional commitment of your life. God, everything about me, inside, outside, public, private, Sunday, Saturday, God, all of it, I want you. Now, I need to be clear. Look, you only need to receive Christ one time. Whenever you say, Jesus, come into my life, change me, God, be my Savior and Lord. He comes in. He's a man of his word. He ain't leaving. You need to do that one time and mean it. But every day, you need to say, Jesus, I rejoice in my salvation. And I receive my identity as a child of yours. And I want to live my life from the inside out, surrendered to you today. Everything about me, God, show me. And I'll stand in the authority of a child of God to bring your kingdom on this planet. That's every day. And so Asa and his brothers devoted themselves to God. And verse 15 says, and all Judah rejoiced concerning the oath, for they had sworn with their whole heart and sought him, beat that path to him earnestly. And he let them find him. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. It's not that complicated. If you would seek God with all of your heart, God says, I'll give you rest. If you'll beat that path to God's door morning by morning to receive new morning mercies, to hold nothing back from God and say, God, clean me up. God, show me, strengthen me, be my life. God says, I'll be your life and I'll be your rest. No more enemies that you can't handle. No more suffering that I can't see you through. A life of peace and quiet. That's a gift. That's a gift. Sometimes you got to lean on that gift because you're in a storm. Some days you need to renew that commitment to Christ to continue to walk in that gift. But that's what I think God is calling us to do today. And so in just a moment, we're going to take communion. If you didn't receive some communion supplies, a little piece of bread and a cup of juice on your way in, if you didn't get that, would you just raise your hand right now at all of our campuses? I've got some friends who are going to give you that communion. If you're at home, then you can maybe make do with what you have. But here's why that's such a big deal. Here's why communion is such a big deal for us today. Because that little piece of bread reminds you that God sent his son who lived sinlessly. He lived sinlessly, perfectly, and his life was broken for you and for me. That little cup of juice reminds you that it took Jesus' death for your sin and mine to be forgiven. And yet he gave it willingly. And then was raised up on the third day that he might give you life. In just a second, I'm going to pray, and I want you just to hold those elements, and I want you to think about, have you received Christ? Because communion's only for believers, only for those who've received Christ. Have you received him? Do you need to slow down
and rest on him and rely on him? Is today a day of renewing and saying, God, I don't want to forget you. God, I've been at this for a long time, but I don't want to forget you. God, do a new level of cleansing and healing and purifying and strengthening in my life. And once we've all been served and this song sung over us, our campus pastors will come and lead us to eat and drink together. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. God of peace, Prince of peace, Spirit of peace, we bless you. In Christ's name, amen.